Welcome to Recurring Nightmares, episode 4. I am Chris, as always, joined by Jeff.
Hello!
Recurring Nightmares is a, monthly versus podcast where we pit two films, maybe of similar eras, of similar themes, maybe a remake or an original film against it. We pit them against each other, review them, and then pick a definitive winner of the two. We have a pair of creature features tonight. But before that, Jeff, what have we been watching?
I got a handful of new stuff that I've seen. I mean, I've been watching fucking everything on the goddamn planet.
There's not much else to do, so.
Yeah. But, I figure, you guys don't really need to hear my thoughts on Halloween for the millionth time. And so I'll stick to what's new that I saw.
All right.
And I guess I'll start with The Outpost. Have you heard of this movie, The Outpost?
Is this the CNN Jake Tapper film?
Yes. Yeah.
That's how I associate it. I know it's not a Jake Tapper film, but that's how I associate it.
Yeah, he wrote a book about this battle that was in Afghanistan in 2009. And this is, the film adaptation of that book. It follows these soldiers that are at this outpost that's in a very bad spot. It should never have been placed there in the first place. And, it's surrounded by mountains on all sides. So they're just ducks at the bottom of these mountains. And, okay. Basically every day, Taliban comes over the mountains and takes some shots at them.
That is a bad tactical location. Who plants their base at the bottom of a mountain?
Yeah. And so the first half of the movie is just kind of getting to know these soldiers. The main guy is played by Scott Eastwood. He's total badass dude. Orlando Bloom plays their commanding officer. Really good in this movie is this actor named Caleb Landry Jones. Just another one of the soldiers.
Okay.
Basically, you spend an hour getting to know these guys, and then you spend an hour after that watching this battle. It's this famous, deadliest battle of the Afghanistan war takes place in the second hour. Once it gets going, it's the first, 15 minutes of Saving Private Ryan, but for an hour. I was really impressed by this movie. I didn't know what exactly I was expecting and how much I was going to like it. I felt there's been a billion war movies. I wasn't expecting much. But this is one of the better war movies I've seen in a long, long time. Maybe going back to The Hurt Locker, and that was that's over a decade ago now.
15 years, maybe.
But this is much more The Hurt Locker is very, all suspense and,
yeah,
there's not a lot of action when the action starts, it's fucking wild. But it's all based on what actually happened. So you're not seeing random dudes die. It's no, that was a real dude you just saw get killed. And the way they depicted him dying is pretty much how he died.
It's gotta be weird for family members and such.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's a roller coaster. I don't want to do a full review and go on too long, but it's really fucking intense in the second half. Some crazy heroics. Like, it's hard to believe that some of this stuff is real, but it is, because if you do rent this, stick around and watch the end credits. They, you know, have footage with the actual guys being, like, interviewed by Jake Tapper.
Okay.
And et cetera, like, talking about the stuff you just saw. And like, stick around through the whole end credits, because that kind of stuff goes through the whole end credits. Just crazy. Like, you know, I don't want to get, like, there's, like, things I want to talk about, like, spoilery, but, you know, right. I don't want to spoil the movie. Just like, yeah, some of the stuff that these guys went through and the stuff that they did to try to survive is pretty crazy. It is a little bit of like rah rah, like America, like feel to it, like but it, at the same time, it's I'd say it's like more pro troops than pro military. I'd say it's fairly like critical of the military.
Yeah, it's more a story about the soldiers that are there on the ground, putting them
in the position that they were in.
Yeah, as opposed to like the military and all. So yeah, that's pretty cool.
But it is very, like honest in this depiction of the soldiers, and like, you know, they'll be cracking like homophobic jokes and racist jokes and this and that. Doesn't try to like, I don't know, like
it doesn't paint them in a better light than what they were, right? Like real people, and
it tries to show what the shit was like. This is a high recommend, like really, like, you know, right now it's going to be in my top 10 of the year. Okay. We'll see if that holds, but I'd be surprised if getting knocked out. I saw The Old Guard on Netflix. That is the Charlize Theron
the
action movie.
Immortal soldiers.
Yeah. Like premise alone sounds like a Chris Jam. Like, it just sounds like that.
It did. Like, the idea of, like, these immortal people hiding in the shadows, fighting the good fight. Like, it sounded cool to me, but I was like, I don't know. I watched that trailer and I was like, it seems like there's a reason it debuted on Netflix.
It's, it got a lot of, like, hype when it came out. And so I was like, whatever, dude. Like,
I think like anything with Charlize Theron and look, she is great in a lot of things. And the fact that she does her own stunts in a lot of stuff is like super commendable, but I don't know. I'm not necessarily as hyped for her as some people.
I mean, I like her. I would say she's an action star. I just think that, you know, just because it's her, doesn't mean it's awesome. Like, I don't know. Like, the premise is, like, these immortal fucking mercenaries basically, like, find another, like, a new recruit, basically. Like, oh, this girl's immortal. We gotta get her. And then there's, like, this fucking tech bro that, like, wants them to, like, I don't know, fucking, you know, like, oh, we could use you guys to, like, make humans immortal or, you know, whatever. Fucking, it's
he wants to capture them and do experiments on them, or?
yeah exactly,
got it.
I found the movie to be like really, really forgettable. Like, I already like have erased everything other than what I just told you. I've pretty much erased from my memory. And you know, I guess some people liked it, some people liked it, but to me, I don't know, man. Like, maybe you'll like it more, Chris. Because again, it's just for whatever reason, I'm like, this is a Chris movie. Like, it just reminds me like what did it made me think of that? Yep. Like that, like, Underworld series. Like, it's that type garbage of premise, films, you know? Like,
I enjoy them.
But yeah, I think people oversold The Old Guard. I also saw Palm Springs, which is like that new Andy Samberg movie. It's on Hulu. It was supposed to go to theaters, but it went to Hulu instead.
Okay, so I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah.
I've heard good things about it.
Yeah.
I've watched the trailer. Is it basically like Groundhog's Day and like today. Am I off like interpreting it that way?
I mean, that's exactly how I described it to everyone I told to watch it.
Okay,
but if I'm being honest, and I got to be honest here. That's our job here.
Yeah.
I have never seen Groundhog Day all the way through.
It's fair. I mean,
so I think it is.
I mean, whatever. That film's fine.
This movie's great. I love this movie a lot. Like I said, I've never seen Groundhog Day all the way through, but it's kind of. I think this is different here in that this girl basically gets sucked into this time loop where every day is the same, and it's like every day. It starts off at this wedding. It's like her sister's wedding, and she gets sucked. She meets Andy Samberg, and they sneak off to fool around, and like she gets sucked into this thing that he has already been in, and because there's like this cave that will fucking like if you walk in it, you'll go into this time loop, and you find out he has been in here, and like he has been here for a long time, like years doing this, which is interesting. So it's like it's. I think it's interesting to meet a character who's been stuck in the situation for like way before the movie began. I don't know. I think the movie it's a lot of fun. It's really like, I don't know, like a really great, like romantic comedy, but then also like kind of, like interesting on a sci-fi level, even a little bit. Like it has like neat ideas in it. Yeah, I don't want to really say much more except, like if you have Hulu, it's on there. I don't know if it's something like you could rent if you don't have Hulu, but easily one of the best.
Sounds like something I might like, so I might check that one out.
Oh, you should absolutely. I don't know if I like pushed it hard enough in the group chat. I know Earl saw it before me, and he said it was great, and like that's not overstating it at all. It's right. Really great. Like it's a really it's easily one of my favorite movies of the year. So nice. I'll just leave it at that. If you want a fun romantic comedy, Palm Springs is your ticket.
All right.
I got two more for you.
Okay.
Yeah. I would assume she would like it. I don't know. It's good. Two more for you.
All right.
One is called Vivarium, and that's on Amazon Prime, and it's like kind of a horror movie, kind of a sci-fi movie. It stars Jesse Eisenberg and Imogen Poots.
Okay.
They're like this couple that are looking to buy a house. Ooh, and
I've seen a trailer for this one. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of a like Twilight Zone-ish premise. Like they're looking to buy a house. This realtor takes them to like this. Like suburb where like every house looks exactly the same and it's like empty, no one's there, it's creepy, and then they go to leave and they're trying to drive out of the neighborhood and they can't get out. Basically the movie, like the premise is them like trapped in this neighborhood. And then a baby shows up in a box. It's a cool premise, and it's got kind of a cool look to it because of like that like creepy neighborhood and this, I think, would have worked better as like a half hour like Twilight Zone or Creepshow episode or something like that, because like it's like I think it's like almost an hour and 40 minutes, but it feels like the longest fucking movie ever. It's so boring, dude. It's so fucking boring.
That sucks. Like
it, like not only boring, but then like you very early on get what it's like going for, and like it's not really a spoiler, I think, to say, but it's like, it's a commentary on like suburban life and just life in general, how you get like trapped and you're just stuck in like, then you raise a kid, right? Like kind of what it's doing. You get that very early on, and then there's still over an hour to the movie left, and like not a whole lot happens, and then like the ending is nothing great. Like, it's just, I've heard people that like this one, like, listened to a review on another podcast where the guy gave it a good review. That's what got me to watch it, and I think this movie kind of sucked. So that's Vivarium. I would say, like, honestly, don't waste your time with it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the trailer made it seem really cool, but, like, maybe it's better suited as, like, a 20-minute short.
It is a cool premise, but it's just, like, again, it's like, it just feels like, okay, I get it, and now I'm bored. Like, what are you going to do now? Like, needed more developments as it went along, other than
what it right.
Another horror movie that's brand new, and it was new to Shudder. It's called The Beach House. Got a lot of, like, kind of hype when it came out, and I actually still keep seeing people that say that they watched it and they really liked it, which makes me want to, like, give it another shot, because I was just not super impressed by this one either. It's kind of like a cosmic horror slash body horror film. Think kind of like Color Out of Space.
Mm-hmm.
But basically it's like this, this couple goes to, like, this beach house, you know, on the ocean or whatever. It's like this kid, his dad's house. And so it's, like, wide open for him and his girlfriend. They're, like, the only ones there. And then, like, his parents' friends show up because his dad told them they could borrow the house for the weekend. So it's like, they randomly, like, start, like, spending, like, the weekend at this house with this, like, old couple, which is weird. But, like, I like some of the stuff that happened with that, like the character stuff that happens with that, and, like, them hanging out and stuff. But meanwhile, there's, like, these vents in the ocean that are releasing these bubbles, and the bubbles are releasing shit into the air, and fucked up shit starts happening from that. And it's not like The Beach House is bad, in my opinion. Again, like, a lot of people really thought this one was good. It's just very slow build-up, and it's a short movie. It's, like, under 90 minutes. And so, like, you're an hour in, and still it feels like nothing has happened. And then, like, everything happens in the last, like, 20 minutes or so. I guess that's probably a lot of movies, but, like, it really, to me, felt like
it just felt longer.
This movie that... It wasn't a complete movie. I felt like, oh, I was just getting into it, and things were just getting going. It was just getting cool, and then, like, it was over. So, again, maybe that's just my problem. Maybe I was in a bad mood or something when I watched it. But, like, to me, I was like, you know, I kind of liked where it was going. I liked hanging out with these characters a little bit. You know, I was starting to get into it, and then it was just like, and then I'm like, oh, that's it? It's over? Like, you know, fucked up shit definitely happens near the end, but it's just, like, it feels like that part of it should have been a little longer, like, maybe 15 minutes longer. I just feel like you could have put the horror more throughout instead of, like, having so much time where it's just kind of a hangout movie where, like, you know, this younger couple and this older couple are getting high on edibles together and hanging out. Like, it gets kind of, that's kind of fun. But it's like, okay, now we're an hour in. I'm looking at, you know, the clock. I'm like, there's 20 minutes of this movie left. When is shit going to happen? But it's on Shudder, so if you want to check it out, there it is. Those are the new movies I have for you this month. I'd say, you know, Real High recommends The Outpost and Palm Springs, and the rest of it, I don't know, maybe give Beach House a chance.
All right. What have you seen? Just a few things. Nothing new and exciting like you have. But for 4th of July, I sat down and watched Days of Thunder.
I saw you, like, tweeting about that, I think.
Yeah, it was I have not watched that in years. It's still a great film to go back to. Great sports movie. I have no interest in NASCAR at all. But they do a great job character wise. Tom Cruise and you know, that's Nicole Kidman, and that entire cast is so good, and it works. Like, they the action sequences, the racing, you know, the stuff, it all feels real. It's weird to go back to and watch now, like the opening of that scene, especially like now, like specifically today, it's weird to go back to, because the opening shots of that film are down south in NASCAR country. And they show like crowd shots of them just like waving Confederate flags.
Well, accurate.
Which at the time, certainly, it certainly was. It's definitely a slice of that time. It's just amusing because, I mean, it's not amusing. Like, the Confederate flag is a disgusting symbol, but it is like, it's amusing to go back to it now. Like, when NASCAR, like, officially, you know, this year has made the call to not allow them in their venues and to not display them anymore. So,
yeah, but that's the thing is, like, I would have to imagine. Pretty accurate up until like a week ago, you know.
Yeah, right. Like very soon. Like, it was just like very kind of like timely to see it that way. But yeah, I mean, it's a Tony Scott film. He always does very kinetic action. But like Tom Cruise, Robert Duvall, Randy Quaid, Michael Rooker, John C. Reilly, like it's a fucking awesome cast. And it's fun. It's a fun film. I had a good time going back to it. And I guess it's been out. It's now 30 years old. So,
what did you watch that on?
I own it. I just happened to like, you know, own it digitally, and I hadn't watched it since I bought it, probably. But sat down and watched it again. It's a good fun film. Great music. Good action.
I can't give my take because I think I saw it when it first came out. Is the Nicole Kidman in that too?
Yeah, Nicole Kidman's in it. I think this is the movie that they met.
Well, it was like on. This, and then they did it like Far and Away.
Or Far and Away, that, right? Yeah. Yep.
I'm like almost positive I haven't seen that one, but I want to say like I have like vague like memories of Days of Thunder, but it's like. If I saw it, I saw it when it first came out, and, you know, at that time, it was probably because I wasn't into, like, racing or whatever, and I was just like, all right, whatever. I should give it a shot.
Give it a go. It's a time capsule, for sure, but very well done. Like, it's filmed, it's a sports movie, like, you know, very clearly, like, you know, Tom Cruise is a race car driver, and it's about, you know, car racing and you know his personal struggles or whatever dealing with that, but the way Tony Scott films it has like an action movie quality to it.
Yeah, he's a awesome director, I thought. Yeah.
So yeah, ton of fun. I really enjoyed that one. It's top notch viewing. Then I watched something less top notch. I think we talked a little bit about it before, about Tubi.
Yeah.
About that it's a free streaming service. It has commercials in the middle of it. That's where I watched Uncle Sam last month.
Yeah, same.
I dug into there and watched a film called Titanic 2.
I saw a little bit of that too.
This is a movie about a recreation of the Titanic sailing from New York to the UK this time. And it is awful. Like, I mean, it's looking at the trailer, you would know it's awful. My God, like, I don't even think they're trying here. Like, it's really atrocious. In a fashion that it is so bad, it's like amusingly funny because at points they are going, oh, we'll take the stairs, like because the elevators are down because the ship is sinking. So they take the stairs and it's very clearly like a high rise building, like a concrete high rise building. Like, and then they're walking down a hallway and it's like the basement of a. Of any building, like any kind of office building, like with pipes and stuff. I've been on a boat before. They're not made out of concrete. Like, they didn't even like try to get away with that. And then they have like CG in it that is hysterically bad. It's not a good movie, but it was a good time, for sure. Maybe like sit down with some friends, you know, when you can again, if you ever can. And
if I want them to never come over again, guys. Yeah.
Hey, watch Titanic 2 with me. Yes, my wife was like, "What?" Like, I was just like browsing through Tubi is great. Like, just looking at all the cover art of these movies. And my wife's like, "Why does this streaming service exist?" And I was like, "It's for moments like this. Like, it's for watching bad films that you would never watch otherwise."
I've been in terms of like streaming services, I've been like using Shudder the most lately because, well, one, Shudder fucking rules, but yeah, like the Slashix channel, like they have like some deep cut slasher movies from the '80s that I've never seen. So I've been like, I guess I could have mentioned those. Like I saw one called The Mutilator that I'd never heard of, which was really fucking good. And then I saw The Burning, which is like a classic at this point. That is also really good. Anyways, what did you had another one?
Yeah, one more. And you saw this as well. Disney Plus put Hamilton up.
Oh, yeah.
And
I guess it is new. It is a thing that I saw in the last month.
Came out July 3rd. So after our last episode went up. I was late to the party. You guys kind of all watched it right that July 4th weekend.
But that was like, you know, I was a Hamilton virgin going into that. So like I watched it like the night it went up. But it was my first exposure to like any of it. So I don't know. What did you think?
I liked it. It's look, I have some issues with the framing of the shots and the angles. But it's hard to film stage performances. And like, that's what they did here. It's not a movie. It is a stage performance. Yeah. And I think in some of the cases, like, you know, where they're doing dance numbers and stuff and they're like zooming in on like one section, it's like, I would prefer to see what's going on.
The whole stage. The zoomed out camera. Like,
Like give me the, but like, then you do miss parts. Like, you know, the king with the spittle, like you don't get that.
Oh my God.
if you don't have that zoom in. So I get why they did it in some cases. I don't necessarily agree with it in all of them, but performances are great. Thought the music was great. I enjoyed the first half more. The second half is a little more like the first half is more about the revolution, and building the country. And then the second half it's more like, there's a little bit of politics in it, which is fine, but it's more about like his personal life and as his covering up of his affair and then his son getting shot and ultimately him ending up shot and killed as well. I enjoyed like the action portion of it. Like I thought a better flow to the first half and I enjoyed those songs a little bit more. But overall really enjoyed it. Really liked the performances, kind of fell in love with the lady that plays Eliza, Philippa Sue. She's great.
Who is that? Like who? Like
she plays his wife,
Hamilton's wife.
Yep.
And not the like. Okay, wait. Like I was looking. You know, it's been a couple of weeks now. Wasn't it like he married
into the Schuyler family.
But like, isn't like the sister in love with him, or did he marry the sister that was in love with him? Like, I don't remember.
Two of the sisters are in love with him. The older sister, kind of allows her younger sister Eliza, to marry him because she's the oldest. Her father only had daughters. It's her place in society to move up in the class structure. So she has to marry for money. Whereas a lot like Hamilton at that point did not have anything, but he was super smart and like engaged her mentally. Yeah, I love that dynamic. Like it's great. And then I kind of love like how, you know, when he has his affair, he kind of like tries to get her on, like well, you like understand me, and she's like, no, like you hurt my sister. Fuck off. And yeah, I think the entire cast is great.
Oh yeah, Diggs and he Duncan was Brown. Really good. He played Jefferson, right?
It played Jefferson and Marquise Lafayette, who I thought was fantastic. Great French accent going on in the first one, and then as Jefferson, he's a complete asshole. like Chris Jackson as George Washington was great. Leslie Odom Jr. as Aaron Burr was fantastic.
Yeah.
Give or take, Lin-Manuel Miranda, I thought he's fine. I don't think he's the strength of the show, but
It is his.
His show,
his handprints on every corner of it,
Oh yeah, they're his songs. I just don't necessarily know he's the best performer in it, but it's fine.
I think he's good. I was surprised. I really, really loved it. Like, and for me, it's just like the main thing is just the music. Like, I think the music is just really, really fucking awesome. And so, like the next day, I was like looking at. I have Amazon Prime, so you get that free Prime music with it. And it's on there, like the soundtrack. So, like, for about a week there, that's pretty much all I was listening to at work. I love the songs. And probably my favorite part, like, the parts in the play are, like, the rap battles.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just because it's just, like, the clever wordplay and the fucking with each other. Like, it's really cool. Yeah, I really loved it, and then, like, of course, the internet had to, like, try to bring me down about it. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I guess a bunch of other people just discovered it, just like we just did. And, of course, so then you had to have the people, like, saying that it's not fucking woke enough or whatever the fuck. Like, why can't people just enjoy some shit sometimes? Like, what the fuck, man? It's not to solve fucking, like... I don't know. I could go on a rant about it.
It's like not all, and that's like the other thing is like, hey, like maybe it doesn't dive deep enough into certain subjects, and there are aspects of our founding fathers that are despicable, but there's also things to celebrate and enjoy about that story, and I think they do a good job here, and the fact that all of them are. Minorities and people of color, cast in a way that everybody in this movie, if it was cast traditionally, would be a white person. Like, the fact that they play with racial roles and there is like a little there's some undercurrent. Like there's a great like line where, Marquis de Lafayette and Hamilton towards the end, like of the first act, like they're finally together. They're going to do the battle of Yorktown. Like they're like immigrants. We get the job done. Like, it's like, that's, you don't need to have slavery is shitty all throughout the show.
And it's in it though. Like it is there. Like a lot, there's in the rap battles, he fucking gives Jefferson shit about it. Like I guess apparently like, because I don't, people want, like, the movies, the play is not trying to fucking, it's not a documentary about fucking American history. It's a play. Like, it's a musical. Like, that's what it is. It's fucking like a Disney movie come to life. And I think it did a good job. Like,
go enjoy the music and enjoy the alternate take on, the founding of our country. And if... To me, if it inspires people to go learn about the founding fathers and the people that are involved in the characters that take place in this musical, it's done its job, because then they can learn about, maybe they're not these icons of virtue that are sometimes portrayed in American society. Some of them are shitty people.
And I think, Miranda, he presents these people as flawed, real human beings. It's just, he's not doing a fucking college thesis about how much the Founding Fathers sucked. Like, sorry, that's not what this is. Like, if you want that, you write that fucking play. I don't know what to tell you. Like,
and I hope that you.
It just bugs me sometimes the way people want everything to be like this fucking like college course. Like it, like that's not art. Like I don't know. It really bugs me. Like
it's also not helpful. Like. If you were to sit there and if everything has to be preachy, you're gonna turn people off. I think it's better to engage in their imagination and get them interested in topics so then they can like, you know, dig into it deeper on their own.
It's just it cracks me up though. Like when Hamilton came out in the No Obama era and people were just like, "Oh, it's really cool. He's like bringing history to life." You know, like making it relatable to modern audiences with rap music and stuff. And now it's just like, this is a piece of shit because it's not tearing down every fucking person in it. I'm like, okay. We've gone like crazy with this shit.
We've lost the thread.
Yeah. But needless to say, I think we both, it sounds like, you know, we just went on about it for a good 10 minutes at least. Like,
yeah,
we both
really enjoyed it. Good show.
All right.
So that's it for what outside of these two films we're going to talk about tonight, what we've been watching. And I guess we should just jump right into it.
What's going on over there?
Whatever you do, do not go into the water.
The lake is off limits to everyone.
There's something in the water!
Piranha hunt in packs. The first bite draws blood. Blood draws the pack.
I'm gonna do these chronologically.
All
right. So we're gonna jump into Piranha 3D from 2010. The linkage here, other than them both being kind of creature features, is that
underwater creature features.
Underwater creature features is they're both directed by Alexander Aja. So. That is our link here. We're going to dig into it. So Piranha 3D, which is now, I don't have the 3D version. I don't know what you ended up seeing, Jeff.
The 1, 2, 3 movies version.
my copy of it on Microsoft Video is just calls it Piranha, which is obviously not. It's the third in this series. But 2010... starring Elizabeth Shue, starring Jerry O'Connell, Ving Rhames.
Big cast.
Richard Dreyfuss makes a cameo in the beginning. Christopher Lloyd makes a cameo kind of in the middle and at the end. And then Adam Scott also, I almost forgot about him. And then just tons of tits and ass throughout this
the real
movie.
Stars on this movie.
Yeah, it is mostly that actually. had a budget of $24 million, made about $25 million in the US, $83 million worldwide. Did eventually get a sequel that is, well, we'll see what we all think of this one, but that sequel, my memory of that is it is fucking dog shit.
Strangely enough, the sequel way easier to find than this movie for whatever reason.
Weird, yeah. So we should maybe jump into that a little bit. Like you had some trouble finding this.
So yeah, if you're listening to this and you have not seen Piranha 3D and you're interested, you're gonna have to buy the Blu-ray, which also is kind of like, you know, probably almost out of print. Like, I think it was available on Amazon to buy on Blu-ray for like $20, which is kind of more than I would want to pay for a Blu-ray of this.
Yeah.
But yeah, like digitally, this thing is fucking non-existent, man. Like, it's not on anything right now. You know, between all the things I'm subscribed to, I could usually find the movie I want. Or at the very least, rent the movie on Amazon. Like, Amazon's library is very deep if you want to rent something. Nope.
Yeah,
can't rent, can't buy, not on anything, man. So it's like I had to go the shittiest route I could to actually see it. You know, I saw it in the theater back in the day, but I wanted a fresh appraisal of it, you know?
Yeah, sure. Which I think is probably necessary.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I don't I remember coming out of that film going, that was really cool. That was a ton of fun. But it was a different time. And yeah, so it was Piranha 3D because it was at the height of the 3D craze.
Yeah.
It is not, at least the version I watched, not in 3D. But the vestiges of that are still around in this film. It kicks off with Richard Dreyfuss on a little boat.
Like, yeah.
Neat little kind of like Jaws reference going on there. Fun like little tribute to that.
Yeah. And then like what? Like it's like there's like an earthquake underneath this yep. lake he's on, and it splits open the floor of the lake.
Yeah,
so all like these fucking piranhas come out.
Yep. And a whirlpool like traps him, right? Like
yeah. And he gets killed right away. Like I think it like it's a cool opening because one, you know, it's like a referencing Jaws, like but yeah. also it's letting you know right away like what this movie is. Like it's just we're just having fun. Like that's
yes. Like you know, that is kind of the underlying current of this film is just, it is a movie that you should try to have fun with. And depending upon, you know, your taste for certain aspects of it, maybe you don't have as much fun as others, but yeah. So like that opening sequence where the whirlpool and the fish are coming up, the prawns are coming up, the CG there kind of, for me, it looks terrible.
Okay, I wanted to talk to you about this because, again, I'm watching the 1, 2, 3 movies.
Right, yeah.
So I don't know what resolution I'm watching at, et cetera. Like, this is, I'm not watching the fucking, like a 4K of this, or you know what I mean?
Yep.
It looked like shit.
Yeah,
like, it looked like bad computer graphics. Once he gets sucked into the water and all the fucking piranhas are swarming him and he's kind of, like, spinning around and the water's turning all red. Looked awful. Looked like terrible computer graphics.
Yes, and that's actually the where he's swirling around in the red. That was when I wrote down the CG and the 3D effects here look terrible. Like,
yeah, and that's
and I was watching an issue.
I'm sorry, what?
I was watching it in HD, so yeah. you were getting the same experience that I did.
I think that's an issue with this because you know that's your monster is like thousands of these fucking things, and anytime they like actually have to show them. It's like you said at the beginning, like this is like a movie of a certain time and like everything about it, like lets you know that this came out in 2010, you know, like,
yep.
But anyways, you want to keep running through the story here, like what happens. Yeah. What,
yeah. So that happens right at the beginning. We kind of get the idea that like, oh, there's going to be attacks of these piranha on this lake. And then it immediately cuts to spring break, like on this lake, probably the other side of the lake somewhere. Tons of gratuitous shots of like asses jiggling and like boobs bouncing. We're quickly, I guess, introduced to Elizabeth Shue, who is the sheriff, and she is awesome. Like she comes off as a badass immediately. Also, fucking
I love
hot.
Her. Yeah, I love her. that's pretty much what I say about every actress I've noticed on the show, but like she's one of them. Like, especially like, I think like when I think I first really know, like I saw her in Adventures in Babysitting when I was a kid, but like when I saw Leaving Las Vegas, I was at the right age to notice her, and I was like, God damn, dude! Like, and she looks like she's much older here. You know, this is 15 years after Leaving Las Vegas, and yeah. I'm a fan of her, and she's awesome in this. Like she's perfect in the role, you know.
Yep. You know, she's policing these kids on the street. Immediately comes off as like badass cop, small town sheriff, whatever. maybe felt a little weird being like, yeah, cop's awesome at this point, but. You know, the people that she was being an asshole to were definitely being assholes back or were beforehand. Anyway, her son is kind of like out trolling through this mass of people. He's going to look for his sister And he gets roped in with Jerry O'Connell, who is like this Girls Gone Wild type producer. I think it was called like Wild Wild Women or something like that.
It's very much referencing. I forgot the guy's name that did Girls Gone Wild. I think he got in like a bunch of legal trouble too.
Yep.
And I don't know what became of him, but it's very much referencing that guy. And when you saw this movie at that time, I'm sure you're like, oh yeah, this guy's, I don't know if he went to jail or whatever, you know, but I mean, like, it would bring to mind this really scuzzy real life character that you knew, you know?
Yeah. Cause he was, and I think the reason that he was like in the news at that point in time was because of like, you know, his scuzzy tax shading. And then also there was like which is actually one of the storylines here is like, maybe he was having underage girls, like, you know, he wasn't checking the documentation properly.
Spring break. Yeah.
And so that's like actually one of the storylines here as well is with the underage girls. But yeah, Jerry O'Connell, complete asshole, which is excellent. Like,
great.
He is just fun.
Great casting. He's really good at this type of role. Reminds me of this other one he did in the early 2000s called Body Shots, that movie nobody remembers, but he was similar type of asshole in that. Yeah, like, it's so weird. The sweet fucking chubby boy from Stand By Me is just, like, perfect at playing these douchebags in the early 2000s, yeah.
And so, yeah, like, Elizabeth Shue's son kind of gets roped in with this guy. He's going to be their lake guide out on the lake, bring him to, like, locations so they can shoot their softcore porn film. And that's pretty much the premise. Like, that's, like, yeah. They go out, and then, you know, the piranha are in the lake, so obviously mayhem at some point is going to start. But like, so after like my opening notes, then my next note here is so much ass.
Yeah. I mean,
like, there's a lot.
Yeah. You have that spring break setting. You have, you know, you're spending a lot of time on this boat with this fucking Girls Gone Wild guy, basically. So yeah, like, it's one of my very early notes was this the official end of boob movies? Cause like, that was a certain type of horror movie, especially like back in the 80s. Not just horror movie, like there were movies in the 80s that would be like, you know, spring break type movies too. Yep. Yeah, where it's just like the shit they would show like on USA Up All Night and stuff like that. And, you know, for a while they were very popular and like, and it became attached to the horror genre, especially where, you know, any slasher film you saw from the 80s, the girls were going to get topless in it, right? Like, and so it's like this, like, I was thinking about it, I'm like, this and like the Friday the 13th remake were like the last, like, this is this just going out in a blaze of glory because like movies now don't really, like, for the most part, I can't think of any like are like this, you know?
Yeah, it's certainly not gratuitous in this way where it is literally like objectifying.
It's the point of the show, you know, hot girls in bikinis, girls topless, you know, like asses bouncing, boobs bouncing.
It is done in such a way here that it's like amusing. It's like,
yeah,
it is poking fun at this kind of, this culture of this,
look, but man, I like to think I'm a very evolved person at this point in 2020 and all this, but like, you're never gonna hear me like, kind of like what we were just saying about like Hamilton. Like, I don't know, I just kind of accept what whatever it is. You're never gonna hear me complain about a movie that's trying to go for, you know, tits and ass. Like, that's a thing. Like, yeah, I get why it doesn't happen as much anymore, but I am I'm a male. I might enjoy this stuff, and so yeah, I've enjoyed some stuff that's going on here, you know.
So they finally find Richard Dreyfuss's body. Like, I guess they get the call in that he had been missing for a while. They find his body out on, well, they find the boat out on the lake, and Elizabeth Shue falls into the water and When she does so, she kind of finds the body as well. And it's funny because, they go back to the Jaws reference, right? Like, shit, this is a huge point in time for the town, and the sheriff wants to shut the fucking place down. And I wrote that here. Yeah. It's always about the money. You can't close the lake because of the money. And
yeah, the tourists.
Now it's fucking like that hits home today. Like really, it's like we can't shut down to fight this fucking virus properly because it's all about the money. It's always about making sure that the people can continue to make that money.
The not weird, keep people safe. The weird thing about like the fact that we're going through a worldwide, at least nationwide situation like this now, is that like the fucked up thing is that like half the population is like, we want to get back to work. You know, yep. You're just like, oh my God, like you are trained, you're a good trained little puppy dog that wants to go fucking die for like, dude, the government's got fucking money to fucking burn. They could easily tell everyone to stay home and you could pay your fucking rent or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
Doesn't have to be this way. But yeah, it's just weird that now, like, to see it happening in real life, the amount of people that are like, but like, you know, and I get it. Like, part of me is like, not just part of me, but like, I want to get back to fucking normal fucking life. Sure. In general, you know what I mean? Like, I get that, but the whole I want to go to fucking work so bad, like
that's never been a thought that has ever crossed my mind.
Like, yeah, I want to go on vacation. I want to go to the movie theaters. You know, I want to be able to go to a bar. I want to go to a restaurant. I don't give a fuck about work. If you're paying me to stay home, we're good, dude. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and it's funny because also a corollary between. People not looking out for their own safety when people are advising them to do something and them thinking, oh no, we don't like, we got this. Like that'll come up a little bit later in our discussion here. The next note I have here is, how are they breathing for so long underwater? Because there is like this 5-minute sequence of these two women just swimming naked.
Oh, underneath the boat.
Yeah.
The glass bottom. Yeah.
It's like, are they actual mermaids? Like, also, beautiful cinematography on those shots. Like, it looks great. They go full nude there, which was kind of surprising. Often in films like this, you know, they only show the tops, but. They went all out under that.
When
that
they're under the water?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I don't
know. So it's kind of like the two plots, though. It's like them on the boat and then, like, yeah. Elizabeth Shue doing the cop shit with, like, researchers or whatever, right? Like,
yeah, so,
kinda,
yeah,
that's kind of it.
She then, Adam Scott is a seismologist, I guess, of some sort. He comes to town. He's the one that kind of... It calls it in like, hey, you guys had an earthquake. We want to come out and look at the fissure. Brings a team with them. They go diving. And that's when we noticed that, like, we knew there was a lot of piranha. But, like, this earthquake has opened up, like, a ridiculous nesting zone. You get some brutal attacks under there. And it doesn't... necessarily look great, but there's some great effect shots, like with like an eyeball and
everything above the water, though. I think does look great. Awesome.
Yeah, like yeah, when they pull them, like, out of the water.
Yes, like, yeah, oh my great. God. So first off, like this is like I want to make sure I don't forget to talk about this because I thought it was so fucking funny. The part, you know, on the boat with Jerry O'Connell and everything, like. He's doing fucking coke, and then he's screaming at the young kid who is like our main character,
yep,
about getting his tit shot. Like this girl who's like basically parasailing.
Oh yes,
and he's like, get the tit. Like she's coming down near the water, and she's topless. And fucking O'Connell's like coked out of his fucking mind. He's got coke all around his fucking nose, and he's screaming at this kid to get his tit shot. She goes into the water, and then like. When they move the boat, and so, like, that, you know, brings the parasail back up, so she comes out, she's fucking, like, the bottom half of her is, like, eaten away. I don't know, dude.
She has no legs.
It's awesome. And, like...
The parasailing is awesome.
like and anything like that where it's like the like a person gets pulled out of the water after they're attacked, like fucking and this is something we're probably gonna talk about more tonight. It's like that's the Aja I remember, you know, like that I was like, oh yeah, like because like this movie marked a big change, I think, for him.
Yeah,
well, I don't know if it's changed so much as he is willing to just be a journeyman in the genre and just try different things, or you know, see where the trends in the genre go. But like, dude, when that came out, he was one thing, and then this is something else, and then Crawl is almost something else too.
Yeah, it's like when he came out, he was part of that French extreme horror, you know, group, yeah. that you know, with High Tension, and then he did the Hills Have Eyes remake, and this is. For as gory as it is, and for disgusting, like it is, silly. It is not a scary horror film. Yeah. It is a comedy, in most cases, or at least a fun horror film. Like it is, in that way,
very very silly, not serious. I mean, dude, there's a part where fucking fits out a penis. I mean, it's not, yes. It's not serious.
Yeah, so like I have here that like when we just talked about that parasailing, that the you know the body, the gore on that is great when the chief comes out of the water. But it's kind of a thing with this film is that the kills are generally pretty weak, because a lot of them are taking place underwater, so
yeah, you know, yeah, that's
CG in that way.
I mean, there's we're gonna get to it in a second. Like when this movie gets going in the cave. Like it's all about, for me, it's all about, like the next 15 minutes of this movie. It's just like that's what you're about to take for. It's so fucking fun.
So then we get a good look at the fish. They capture one. They bring it to Christopher Lloyd. He's like some sort of local fishologist or something. I don't know. It was just cool seeing Doc Brown.
Do you think
in the film?
Do you think they like overdid it with the stunt? Casting and stuff, it's like
it's a lot.
I think you get one or two of those, and it's just like,
yeah, it's like, I mean, the Richard Dreyfuss one is like Neeks, it's like, hey, yeah. You know, Jaws, right? Like, and but then like Christopher Lloyd shows up, and he's playing Doc Brown, like, yeah. He's literally playing Back to the Future Doc Brown. And it's crazy, it was funny, but it is like, I don't necessarily know if we need to go like. This is not a story that has any sort of serious significance. Like, we don't need to go into the fact that, hey, this piranha was extinct. Like, who the hell cares? Like, you're just slowing it down. It's like, it's cool to see Doc Brown in motion. It's not necessarily needed.
And also, it's like, there's no, like, horror movie connection to that. Like, how to get, like, that's a reference that makes total sense. Like, here. All right, well, you love
this is just like, hey, I mean, who doesn't love Doc Brown, right?
Yeah. And, you know, then you have Eli Roth, although Eli Roth is like in a perfect role for him. Like,
he is sleazy, wet t-shirt. Yeah. and here's the thing about Eli Roth. Like, I mean, you know, us as horror fans know who he is, but I don't think most people are going to pick up on that one. Like,
yeah.
Just because, like, who the fuck is Eli Roth? Like, other than the hostile guy. So then the boat that Jerry O'Connell and our main character on, gets caught up in something after they rescue his little brother and sister, and hits the rocks and starts to sink. And in the meantime, on the other side of the lake. The wet t-shirt contest with Eli Roth is kind of going on, and the piranha are invading this area where there are just hundreds of people, and like Elizabeth Shue and Ving Rhames trying to get everybody out of the water. They're basically being told to go fuck off, like, to their face. Like, we got safety for you, and they turn around and like shake their ass at them or something. And it's just chaos, and the fish invade, and it's more chaos. And there are body parts and shit getting bit off, people getting eaten, they're getting pulled out of the water, and there's just blood and gore everywhere.
Dude, like, this stretch of the movie is like, it's almost like he's showing off. Like, it's so
Oh, yeah.
Like, it goes on longer
than you can actually, like you'd imagine that like something like this would be possible would go on just because the number of extras and the water location and all that. Like, it's just, it's fucking crazy. And it's like, there's a part where the stage wire fucking snaps and like it swings and it hits these two girls. The girls are like topless and they get fucking hit and like fucking cut in half by it.
She wasn't at first. Her top was on.
Oh, and it snapped off. By
it snaps off and then Christ. And then you then like the top falls off. So you see her boobs and then you see like where it bisected her. She just slides off. It's great. It's a great shot.
The way that like they both just kind of like stand there for a second and then all of a sudden their body starts to slide off. Like, you know what's coming, but it's just like the part where like this dude grabs a boat and he's trying to escape on his own, and fucking this girl's hair gets caught in the fucking colors of the
scalps her.
And he scalps her. And not just scalps, but like a ritual fucking baby off of it too. Like,
yeah.
It's so over the top, it's so long, and like just really like pretty impressive gore and stuff. Like, this whole part of it, like, you take this part out of the movie, and I'm like, this movie is fine. I got it. I'm like, all right, this is the reason to see it. Like, if you can't see this, this is the reason to see it. This whole fucking
right. Thing. It's fun. It's so amazingly stupid. there's a great, like, where this guy, like, they're all in the water panicking, and then a boat, like, slams into this guy's head and takes his head off. Like, that gets the fuck out of me. Yeah. Todd, who is the this girl that our main character is kind of interested in, he's kind of played up as like this dickhead. Like, he doesn't really have a big role, but he like hops on this boat and rides away, and it's the one with the hair. He might kill more people with that boat than the fucking dickhead. Like, he's just running people over. It's so amazingly stupid. It's great. Like, Ving Rhames, then he like takes a fucking he takes the motor off of the back of his police boat.
Weapon.
Yeah, he's like swinging it, and it makes no sense because, like, you know, Fish is, we're in a 3D space, but he's like swinging in front of him and like hacking him up, and it's like they should just be able to swim around you, but it's strange.
Exactly.
It's
so dumb. mixing this is the Jerry O'Connell fucking kill.
Jerry O'Connell falls into the water and gets attacked, and he somehow is able to get back up onto the boat.
And he looks amazing. He gets pulled out. It's just like fucking skeletons and legs that with a bunch of gore on them. But that's totally like laughs because he's saying, he took my penis.
Yes. And then eventually, like, they go underwater, and there's a dick just floating underwater, and the fish comes up and gobbles it and then spits it out.
Yeah, you know, it obviously was like a 3D thing, too, that they were trying to do with that.
Because it looks awful, but it is so crass and hysterical. Like, I just, like, laughed. Like,
this whole part is just fucking awesome, dude. Like, it's just, like, it's, to me, it's the reason to watch it.
And that's it. Like, that's kind of the film. Like, ultimately, the boat sinking, Elizabeth Shue saves the day.
That finale, though, with the sinking boat, one, kind of reminiscent of Jaws, right?
Yeah.
And in the sinking boat is, like, our main character's, like, girlfriend is, like, in the bottom of the boat, and they, like, try to get her out, right? That whole part, though, feels much more like the movie we're about to talk about, where it's like a situation and a ticking clock, and then we're trying to do suspense. It's like that whole part feels much more like
traditional.
What he's trying to do in Crawl, which we're talking about.
He actually builds tension there. Like, you know, for as stupid as this film is, like, and for as fun as it's going for, like, he actually does build tension. Like, you're not sure, because at this point, everybody is getting eaten. Like, you know that, like, the two little kids are probably going to survive because they're little kids, but everybody else is on the table at this point. So maybe she doesn't make it. Maybe the older kid doesn't make it. So they built some good tension there. And yeah, as you said, great callback to Jaws, with the sinking boat, with the explosion that kills them. And then I kind of like the ending here where, you know, Doc Brown makes the call and is like, hey, these are babies. Like, they're just the baby fish. And like, that means that, like, well, where's the giant fucking piranha jumps out of the water and eats Adam Scott.
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
We're looking at Adam standing on the boat and he's like, that means there must be, like, where's the adults? And all of a sudden, like, a gigantic fish comes out and gets him, and that's the final shot. I just think, like,
stupid.
It's like something about it doesn't punch right, like, the way it goes from that into the credits. But then also, it's like the whole time that scene is happening, though, like, you know, that's what the punchline is going to be at the end. Like, you know, yeah. Like, so it's just like, like, I got it. Like, but like, I also got it before, you know, you bought, like, I could have watched it. I was like, you didn't see that coming. Like, come on, you know.
They telegraph it by going, like, they're just the babies. Like, well, they're the babies, and they're big fish. These are not small little baby fish. Like, these are big motherfucking fish. And so, like, you have to envision that, like, something the size of a shark is going to jump out of the water, and that's exactly what happens.
I mean, it's not as bad as the final shot of
Crawl. Ooh, yeah.
We'll talk about it.
But, soon, yeah, so that's Piranha. How did you come away from this one?
I think that it's fun. Like, it's fun. How do I say this? It's fun. I think that, like, creature features are, like, slightly, like, lower on the totem pole for me than maybe for you. Like, I know, like, you, like, isn't, like, Jaws, like, one of your favorite movies or your favorite movie? I can't remember.
Yeah, I really like Jaws. I mean, I like Alien. Yeah, I enjoy monsters of a kind.
I mean, I would put Alien super high. So, I don't know. Maybe I don't know. Whatever it is, like, to me, it's fun. It's goofy. It's a time. Like, that fucking section where like, all the chaos breaks out is so worth everything else in it.
Yeah.
Awesome cast. You know, like, she's a little bit to do. I guess they went, like, maybe one or two too many with casting, but it's like, it's the type of movie that it is it's just trying, like, we're gonna fucking throw everything against the wall and we're just gonna have fun with it.
I think that to me is where, like, I think it works, right? Like, I think they threw everything against the wall and most of it stuck. Whereas, like, Piranha 3 Double D, they, like, triple it up on the stunt casting, but they don't have as competent, like, as of a director, and it's just, it's a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, there's two things about this movie, though, that, like, I kind of draw back to me. It's like, one, when it came out, like, and even still, I put Aja as, like, one of the most interesting, like, and talented horror directors that there is out there.
Sure.
I was super into what he was doing early in his career. Like High Tension, for as much as I hate that ending of that movie, is one of the most brutal and bleak and crazy slapping I've ever fucking seen. And same goes for his Hills Have Eyes remake. It kind of follows the plot of the original, but, like, man, is it fucking well done. And it's like, to me, like, I would just want to see him go back to that, and it's just weird to see him come, like, this guy is like, I'll just go wherever the genre goes, or wherever it gets offered. Like, he'll work, he's, like, very comfortable working in any corner of the genre, and I'd say, you know, for me, like, horror comedy is, like, my least favorite corner of horror, like, and, you know, he does a good job. Like, that's the thing that's, like, amazing about him. Like, most of, you know, there's a few of his movies I haven't seen, but, like, he's very good director no matter what. Like, he's able to, like, he understood the bonus thing and he went with it. But just, like, for me, I just always want him to be in that super bleak, like, ultra whatever mode. And the other thing is, like, this just very much feels of this time. I have no problem with it being a fucking that's gonna be that's cool. Like the look of it, like especially like the digital effects stuff drags it down a little bit for me. So, what do you think?
Yeah, that's similar, right? Like, I do enjoy a good horror comedy, though. I think this one mostly works. Like, I had fun with it. The parts that do bring it down for me, though, are those digital shots, the 3D shots, the stuff that is featured, and like you have to feature it because like you're selling a movie. It doesn't necessarily work outside of that. Like those shots are bad. They look bad in 2D, and the CG looks bad. Like, you know, it had $24 million budget, and most of it was probably spent on that. And that's a shame because it doesn't look good.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, the practical effects are great. Like, when they do the body shots and the gore stuff, it is phenomenal. It's just that, like, the actual kills, the actual fish here don't work.
I wish you did more. Because again, I get why you have to do digital effects with this movie, but like you could do more like close up with practical rubber fish or whatever, like fish like holding on to someone, and like when you look at that under the water, it's like an actual physical fish. I don't.
Yeah,
I did it for the fucking original, right? Like so.
Right, and yeah, that's where it's like, you know, maybe you should have done something like that. I know at that point, like. Oh, like that. This was definitely in that time period, right before filmmakers started getting back into like doing things practically. Yeah. Just this is in the wake of, you know, the Star Wars prequels and you know, I think Avatar was around this time. So like, you know, everything was going, you know, digital and 3D, and it's fine. But mostly because I think the cast is fun, the script is enjoyable. It is, as you said, like one of those last like tits and ass horror films.
It feels like a late aughts horror movie. Everything about it, like the cast, the look of it, everything. But also, yeah, tits and ass. It just feels like you know, like so, like if you're in the mood, like if you're like, man, I want to see some fucking 2010 horror shit. Like this is absolutely like a movie you go to. I don't know though, like just about like that era. Some of the era that's aged poorly for me, but I can't quite put my finger on what it is. Like late 90s or anything like that. But, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this stuff like all these eras. I watch all these movies. But it's just like,
yeah, it's something you have to get the for
it. Time.
Sure. But ratings.
All right. Oh, first, I'll do it. Seven. I already like summed up what my thoughts on it, so I'm just gonna say that. So.
Yeah, that, and I mean, I'd probably come off sounding way more positive, but that's my score as well here.
Okay.
You know, it's that CG that really brings it down for me, because like otherwise, I'm having a blast watching this movie. Is it good? No, probably not good. But it's a good time, and like, I think sometimes like some horror you want for certain things, and other horror like you want to just have a good time with it. And I think this movie just captures fun, and so. But
it is. It was funny to me. One of our friends, one name, said that like this movie is trash or like whole shit. I'm like, maybe it is. I just. Maybe it's not a good quote unquote movie. It's fun. Like, it is fun. And so, I don't regret having to rewatch it. I just wish I was able to get a good copy of it.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it's not one of those Movies Anywhere titles, so I couldn't share it with you.
Fucking Scream Factory. I would buy this. Hook it up.
Yeah, get it out there. Get a good copy of this.
4K transfer of this shit.
Two hands! In less than an hour, we'll be underwater!
Banging on the pipes
blurs their senses.
I can distract them for you. You got this!
You need to go now.
I'm not leaving you here!
So, pair of sevens for Piranha. That brings us to 2019's Crawl. This movie also by, as I said, both movies by Alexander Aja. It came out last year. We both reviewed it on Movie Dudes. We thought it came out pretty well. Had a budget of $13.5 million. Had an opening weekend of 12. Gross in the U.S. was 39, and worldwide was 91. So slightly better than Piranha, and on a cheaper budget as well.
I was surprised to see what a hit this was. Like, I 91 worldwide is pretty good for what this movie is.
And I honestly thought we were the only two talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember there being a lot of hype around it. I remember some people like saying it was good, but I don't remember like any of,
people
we follow was kind of jumping out at it.
Yeah.
Another creature feature, this one, crocodiles this time, or not crocodiles, alligators.
Yeah.
Simple premise, it's a young girl, a college swimmer, which I thought was a nice kickoff to the film. Starts off with sets up our heroine as a swimmer, which is going to come in handy later in the film. I also thought cute touch of having her swim for the University of Florida, whose mascot is the Gators.
Yeah, that's right.
And I like the title card here. They're at a swim meet, they jump into the water, and it's the five lanes, and Crawl comes up in between.
Yeah.
Them. It was nice touch.
It's a nice shot. Yeah.
Yeah, like very pretty. I think that's something Aja does really well. He did it in Piranha where he could, where it wasn't CG. He has more room to work here, I think. Solid setup for this. Haley, our heroine, our main character, her dad is missing. Category 5 hurricane's coming, and she goes to find him at their old house. And from there, shit goes bad. Like, it's a very simple film. Very simple premise. We get to it really quickly. She can't find her dad. Sees something going on in the basement. Like, why is the basement open? Here's music coming from downstairs. In this crawl space, which is the name. Crawl here means a couple things because. One, it happens to take place mostly in this crawl space. Also, alligators kind of, they're slow on ground.
The creepy crawlies running around. Crawl.
She gets down there. She gets attacked by a gator. She finds her dad.
He's like fucking been attacked already.
Yeah. Right? She doesn't know what's happened. She just knows he has a broken leg and he has some sort of claw mark, which I don't know. To me, it's like, She didn't put two and two together there, but instead she tries to drag him out of the crawl space and gets attacked by a gator. And from there, it's a game of cat and mouse where she's trying to escape, her dad is trying to escape, and they're trying to get past these two gators that are in their crawl space and survive in the middle of this Category 5 hurricane.
Yeah, it's very like once the movie gets going, it's all the mechanics of them trying to escape these gators. Like, that's it. Like, there's nothing really like the movie. It's definitely way more of a serious film than than Piranha 3D. I think you would agree with that, right? Like, it's meant to be a fun movie, but it's like it's approaching it way more serious than that. And like the other thing it tries to do, like the only other thing it tries to do besides, you know, just how the fuck are we getting out of here, is like tries to do a little bit of character stuff with her and her dad. And I like, in my opinion, like these characters are pretty thin. Like the backstory seems written around what they want to do with the movie. Like, so like the thing you mentioned early on, she's a swimmer. So, okay, that's her backstory. She like, because we're going to need that because she's going to have to swim, right? There's a gator. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, it just feels like it's written to get to a point. Like it's just like
very convenient.
Yeah. There's stuff there. Like, you know, like the things you know about them, you know, there's some other, like, her dad's divorced, you know, he's like kind of her coach, or like, you know, he was always like coaching her with her swimming. It's, you know what I mean? Like, it's like they try to do stuff with that and it's okay, but it's like you could feel the edges. It's like in a video game when you're in open world and you get to like the edge of the open world, like, you know, okay, that's all they wrote. Like, they didn't think much beyond, like, okay, like these are like the story beats we need to hit because such and such.
Yeah, it's like, why did we put these two people together?
Yeah.
And you know, and their primary focus here is surviving. Like, yeah, like every once in a while they touch on some father-daughter stuff. I actually think that the two leads have like good, believable chemistry as father-daughter.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Their story is paper thin.
Well, like it is. I think it's okay that it's thin because it's a thin movie. Like
sure,
the movie on top of it is also thin. Like, it's just trying to do this one thing, and then the story part is just trying to do this one thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that they're both great in it. Like, and I think that like Barry Pepper like is an actor I don't see as much as I would like, and so it's cool to get him here, and it's cool to get him kind of playing against type for me. Like, I always think of him as like the Wall Street douchebag guy from 25th Hour. Mm-hmm. And he's like, not at all. Like, he's like this very kind of pathetic dad in this, you know, like, and he plays it pretty well, I think. Like, I don't know. I bought him and I liked them together, you know?
Yeah, no, I thought they were really good together. You know, it's, you don't necessarily care like why they're together. It's like you believe that they're father daughter,
yeah.
And you get invested in the fact that like, hey, I want to see them escape because that's kind of the point here.
Yeah.
Like I think they do a real good job though. Once she gets into that crawl space, like rats are gross. they show them a couple times. The crawl space itself is a terrifying location. Even without the gator, like,
just
kind of crawling around, and you know the gator's coming, right? Like, they sold this in the trailers. We've already seen it previously. But just that location is creepy. It has a traditional horror movie vibe to it.
And, like this movie, like, I remember talking about this when we did the original review, like, this would be like kind of thrilling kind of situation without the gators. Like, it's, you have the ticking clock of the water rising and they have to get out of there. And like, you know, you see like, you know, it's drowning his radio and his radio starts to die. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're like, oh shit, like, we gotta get out of the basement. And then like that kind of continues throughout the whole movie. And then it becomes, oh, we gotta get out of the upstairs. We gotta get to the roof. And like, so like, yeah, I don't know, like, that whole, like, yeah, the basement setting is good, and also just, like, the Florida setting, the hurricane going on. I think the movie, like, looks good, like, it looks like it's not a cheap movie. Like, it's clearly a lot of digital effects with the weather and stuff, but, like...
But they don't look bad.
Like, I don't think they look bad, and I think, like... And then also you're going for like this color palette that's kind of like gray and blue.
It's very muted, yeah.
But
dark. I think it just,
it looks good.
like in the crawl space, it's dark, lots of green tones. Very good.
And even though it's like that bluish gray shit, like then you'll have like the cops show up and they're wearing like these bright yellow like things like contrasting against, like, I don't know, like I think it's like a fairly good looking movie. Like, I think it looks better than Piranha 3D. Like, Piranha 3D has that whole like sunny thing going for it, like, which is cool. Like, I like that, but like that, even in that mode, it doesn't look as good as what they're doing here in this mode.
If that makes sense. Yeah, it's like it captures the, you know, where what they're going for in Piranha 3D is like that hyper stylized, hyper visual, Spring Break kind of video, like almost like shitty,
like MTV Spring Break.
Yes, where here it is, they're going for like a more serious, somber feel, and I think they capture it. Like it's like it has a serious vibe. Like the cinematography is serious. It looks better. You know, obviously, you know, 10 years after Piranha, we've improved visual effects. That they look better now. And you know, camera technology has gotten better, but like for a movie that's $13.5 million to look better than a movie that costs $24 million, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and like, yeah, not just the basement. Like, I like the, I just like the look of where like their house is. I like the look of the house. I like the look of the gas station that's like right outside their window across the street. Like,
yep,
I kind of dig all that.
Let's talk about that gas station a little bit.
That's a great part with the gas station.
Yeah, the looter attack is kind of fun, right? Like, awesome. and just like with Piranha, like where I thought in Piranha they did a lot of really good underwater shots, didn't involve the fish, that, you know, helped create tension and looked good. And here, like, again, like, and this is murkier water, right? Like, it's not the crystal clear water that they're going for in Piranha. It's that murkier, more muted, dirty tone. But the underwater shots look great here, like visually stunning. And then that whole attack at the gas station where these three looters are stealing an ATM machine. It's fun. Like, it is a fun time. Also brutal. Totally brutal.
Well, it's I guess you have to like get to me on that, like what, like you mean, because like I love this whole part because like it's just awesome that they're like stealing the ATM. Yeah. But like my knock against this movie a little bit is this is like a very reserved movie in a lot of ways. Like, I was, you know, because it's Aja, and even looking at a silly movie like Piranha 3D, it's like, I expected the, like, gore to be, like, way more than I got here. Yeah, am I crazy?
That is true.
Like, a lot of, like, so, like, the ATM guys was one of the examples I thought of. Is like, a lot of it is, like, you see them getting attacked from underwater, and then they just get pulled under, and that's it. Like, there's a part where, like, this cop, he gets, like, ripped apart, but it's, like,
yeah, the so gear
far strong. Up. It's, like, far, like, it's cool as hell. It's an awesome shot. He gets ripped apart from, like, every direction by gators. But, like, it's, like, you don't get any, like, close-up, like, awesome makeup work from that. Seeing it from far away.
You don't get anything like the bodies in Piranha. Like, the closest you get is there's a couple like realistic looking shots of, like, you know, the dad has like a, he's been clawed and bitten on the shoulder, and then they show his broken bone, which is
when there's a part where he sets his leg. Yeah, he's got a broken leg and he sets it himself, and so you see the bone sticking out, you see him like pulling it in.
But yeah, that's like the extent of it.
But like, that is like, you know, I think for some people it would be tough to watch, but even that part to me, I was like, I, you know, I've seen crazier shit. Like, I honestly, like, I was thinking about this time, I'm like, I think this is like a movie you could show to someone that's like not a horror fan and they would like it, because it, like, it doesn't, like, at the very least, it doesn't shock me. Like, none of the stuff I saw shocked me in it.
No, like no. When I said brutal in that, and
just like the they just got fucking owned.
Well, yeah, it's like, well, there's you know, the girl and the she gets bitten and chewed down, but then like the brother, he's coming back to like he's yelling to his little brother like get out of the water, get out of the water, and then he goes missing, like he just disappears, and then the next scene you have is like him being bashed into the storefront. And it happens like two or three times. There's no close up of it, which, you know, would have maybe.
But like blood splatters all across the.
Yeah.
Like,
it's just like a really cool, like brutal shot. And like the kid, like in there is like, oh, fuck. Like his death, though, not great. Like, you know, it's just he gets bitten down and that's it. Like, so. Yeah. But yeah, I thought that was like just what the bashing the kid against that storefront was fun.
I'm trying to think, like, all right, so like, yeah, they fuck around in the basement a lot, right? Like, and
yeah, water's rising.
They finally, like, she finally gets her dad out of there, right? And like, right, isn't that like, am I skipping something?
Yes.
Big? Like,
well, she swims through the
some good jump scares, by the way. Which
good one right over at the beginning, yeah. Like with the stairs, right? Like she's
that one's the going, big one. Yeah,
she's going to climb up the stairs.
Excellent and, jump scare.
Yeah, like because she had found her dad at that point, right? Like, or maybe
yeah,
she hadn't. She hasn't seen the gators yet, though. She's walking up. She's like trying to drag him up, and the gator just rips through the stairs.
Yeah, explodes out of the stairs. Excellent. There's another good one upstairs, I think, too, where it's like a branch hits the window or something. But like,
yep, right before that, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, then they eventually get out and they go to take the boat. They get to like do all this work, like it's a bunch of bullshit. Like,
yeah,
can't get into every detail of this.
Before we get to the boat, though. Okay. Well, so there's like, she's trying to swim out, right? Like, and she finds her cop buddy who's been killed, and she grabs the gun.
That's a good one.
And then this gator jumps up and grabs her by the arm that's holding the gun.
Yes, that's really cool.
They spoil this in the trailer, which is unfortunate because it's a great shot. Where she is just pulling the trigger and you're seeing the bullets, like you're seeing the splatter of the bullets, like come out of the gator.
It's kind of like kind of coming out of his back, kind of like right behind his head. But I think she finally gets him in the dome, you know, like it's his brain. Yep. And he fucking like,
finally lets go.
It's just awesome. The idea of someone like their arm is being chopped on by a gator, but they have a fucking gun in their hand. So they're unloading on this gator. Like, it's just fucking cool. Like, it's a cool idea, you know?
So then there's a pretty good scene of her like swimming out, like good tension there. It is funny. Cause like she swims out, she faster than the gator, but she gets to the, you know, where it turns into land again. And the gator doesn't chase her up there. So I did find a little weird. Like, you know, if I was a hungry gator, I would kind of come up, but see it come out at least onto the land and like see what I can do, but doesn't do that. She goes in and this is a scene that I thought was really stupid, is her dad is drowning under the floor. Like the water has now reached the top of the crawl space. He can't breathe anymore. And she starts like pulling apart the floor, and just the way it's edited, he should be dead, or she is the fastest fucking
floor like, in the world. Would you, like, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I remember that part. Like, you see him like sinking to the bottom. He's like fucking drowning. It's like, okay. And then she like,
and she hasn't started ripping the floor up yet.
Like, couldn't she just open the door to like the bottom, or like, remember that there was a door that was blocked? Like,
yeah, that to me was like, you know, you went through this whole part where you're showing she can't lift it because there's something on top of it. You would have thought he would have gone there, and that'd be how they got him to escape. But instead, she has to rip up their fucking living room floor. Yeah. Make any sense?
It happens kind of so quick that like I don't think I really thought about that the first time. I didn't honestly. So you just said it now, and I was like, yeah, that's kind of dumb.
I remember it bothered me a little bit when we first watched it last year, and it's like, oh, come on, because the film actually, it has like great tension. It has a serious tone to it. Yeah, it's a real horror film. And then like just this dumb scene of like her making the last minute save was like, oh, come on.
I think once they get out, like after that, like they got to the boat, it's like kind of dumb. Like, I don't know. It's just like kind of like they went through all this work. They get into a boat and a fucking like tsunami comes and just like fucking knocks them back through the front window of their house. And they're like right back. Almost in the same situation that they were, because now the water's filling up the first floor. They're less trapped than before, but it's just like...
Yeah, that to me, it's also like, I don't know. I'm not sure I'm buying this at this point, right? Like, you know that there's rescue helicopters coming by. At that point, why wouldn't you just like go up to your roof now where it would be safe, light your flares, get their attention, as opposed to like, I'm going to go through this gator infested, you know, water where I have to swim over to the gas station to get this boat that we're not sure works. And then I'm going to come back and then I'm going to get my crippled dad who has a broken leg holding my dog. I'm going to get them into the boat. Like it is, it's the whole sequence. There's a little stupid. Also, super contrived, like with the eye of the hurricane.
Yeah,
like oh, we were gonna mask ourselves with the sound of the water of the rain. We were gonna kind of do it, which that didn't make.
I don't know. Either, but... I don't know if I'm believing that. Like, I'm like, you go
right.
I do think though, like after they get washed back into the house, like you do get some of like the coolest shit. Like,
yeah.
Dude, the part when the dog's swimming under the water and you get an underwater shot of the dog swimming, like, and you're like, oh no, oh no,
oh,
not,
yeah,
the dog, not the dog. Then, of course, like, right after that, the dad gets owned again. His fucking arm gets fucking ripped off.
He is not having a good day.
Somewhere in here is like the part where, like, she goes into the bathroom, right?
And yeah, the bathroom
shower
is
door.
Real good.
It's cool. It's just a cool really good idea. Like, cool setup, cool camera angles. Like he just like the camera angle over the shower door, you know, like right, like
yeah. And then like when she jumps over and traps the gator in the shower, and they shine show the gator. It's like almost in like a fishbowl type thing.
Awesome shot right through that shit though. You know, like fuck it. Like I never buy that the door is getting that door, like the shower door like even a millisecond. Like I would just
Didn't the tail like knock one of them over earlier?
Dude, have you ever knocked into one of those shower doors? You could easily fucking take that thing out accidentally. Like,
right? Like I have one of them in my house. I'm always afraid that like if we touch it the wrong way, it's gonna shatter.
So like, I wouldn't even bother closing that shit on the gator or anything. I'd be like, I'm fucking out, man.
Yeah, hopefully, he gets out. I jump over to the other side. Like he's big enough that he has to like swim. He either needs to go through the glass, which is gonna startle him. Or he needs to swim back out the other way. I should have enough time to get out and shut the door.
I think that's kind of it. Like, then they just get up to the fucking roof, right? Like,
yeah, there's a goofy scene. It's almost like, I don't know. There's this weird like platforming scene, right? Where she's like jumping on.
Oh yeah.
Like, what is going on? It's goofy. It's fun. Like I don't hate it. It's just like, seems a little out of place for as serious as the film is for the first two thirds. Once they get above out of the crawl space, it becomes a little more ridiculous. But yeah, that's about it. They, you know, they escape to the top. She almost gets swept away because the water has now reached the roof of the house. But her dad makes the last minute over the shoulder save lying on his back. He's able to yank her up. It's fun, and then it has that atrocious final shot of her holding the flare.
Like that, like movies don't do that weird freeze frame ending anymore. Like that's the thing that died in the '90s, and in 2019, Aja was like,
"Bring it back."
It's so indicative of what this movie is, though, where it's just like, it's like, we're just going to do this. All right, we've reached the end. This is the end. Like you know what I mean? Like, it's just like,
yeah.
We're not putting, like, yes, there's artistry to everything that he's doing here, but it's like, we're not putting a finer note on any of this. It's just like, all right, you saw your Gator movie. They got to the roof. They're safe. She's holding the flare. Here comes the helicopter. Freeze frame. And it's just like, just the conceit of the freeze frame is just like, to me, that went out of a style for a reason. Like, do the cut to black. Like, pick a cool shot. Like, have her look back at her dad. She's going, and then cut to black. You know what I mean? Like, that's a million times better than the freeze frame that you're doing here. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Goofy, dude. Goofy. Like, it fucking, like, almost knocks it down, like, the whole thing down a notch for me. Like, it's just a really goofy, fucking awful freeze frame.
Yeah, except for as goofy as the Piranha ending is, that whole movie is goofy. And, like, all right, like, you know, the joke there is bad.
That freeze frame ending feels like if you're trying to reference some stupid 80s bullshit or something. Like,
right.
It doesn't... I don't know. Again,
like, yeah, I would have been fine with a freeze frame of, like, the fish, like, in Adam Scott's mouth, like, or Adam Scott in
Mouth
at the end of that, and they freeze frame that as opposed to here, where it's like, you really could have just, like, you could have, you know, panned out, like, do an aerial, like, shot or something. And
I feel like we should be clear. Like, the freeze frame is not meant to be silly here. It's not meant to be a gag. It's just, like, that's how he decided to end it. And it's just, like I said, like the ending I proposed to you, she looks back to her dad, she's, like, breathing real heavy, she's freaked out, you cut the black. Like, that's better, right, than fucking...
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is this? I don't know. Like, to me, it's just super cheesy. And, like, they didn't mean for it to be cheesy. It just felt like Aja doing journeyman work, where he's like, all right, we're at the end here. And that's it.
Wait,
like,
well, what, how do you want to end it? I don't know.
I don't know. Fucking freeze frame it.
I don't even know who these people are. The swimmer and her dad.
Yeah, exactly. I get ratings then now, or
yeah. Right. Where you fall on this one?
Like, there's a couple things about it. Like, it's. The, how do I say this? I mean, it's a movie I like, but I'm, like, losing the fact of, like, what the hell, like, my problem was with it. I think it's so focused on, like what they're trying to do to get out of it. Like, that's so much of what the movie is. I'd say it's about, I don't know, an hour, 20 minutes of the hour, 30 minutes, right? Like,
yep.
That stuff, like, some of the, like, for all the cool things we talk about that happen in it, like, it starts to become monotonous after a while. Like, where you're just like, all right, they did the thing in the basement. Now they're going to have to do some more. Like, it's just, it's always they have to do more shit. There's enough cool, like, things thrown in. Yeah.
There's obstacles at every corner. It's like,
there's enough. Can't catch. You do get, like, enough cool things thrown in, which we touch upon, like the dude getting ripped apart, or fucking Barry Pepper's arm getting ripped off, and like there's plenty of, like, neat stuff that happens, but it just, yeah, it starts to feel monotonous even at, like, the 87 minutes or whatever it is. And then the other thing for me is that, like, the violence, again, I'm always gonna want, like, the most extreme shit you could give me or whatever, and, like, this very much feels like it was trying to reach a wider audience, and it looked like it did, but, like, that, to me, like, especially when I, like, stack it against Aja's other work, even including Piranha, I'm like, man, I would have wished, like, I know you're going for more realistic, like, shit here, but you could do that with the extreme violence. So it's, like, there's two things that, like, kind of bring it down. Overall, it's a movie I enjoy. I like. I've seen it. This is four times now I've seen it. So, my rating, though, Chris, is a 7.
All right. I do agree with most of what you said there. I think this is a better movie than Piranha.
Okay. We know where you're landing on the verdict here. All right.
I think it's a better movie. I'm coming in at an 8 on it.
Okay.
Yeah, I do agree with you though that like parts of it just becomes excessive. I don't know if monotonous is the word I'd use, but it is like, oh, for crying out loud. Like every fucking corner they turn, it's like bad. And he does a good job, I think, with the tension, but most of like the best stuff I think is when they're in that kind of more confined space.
Yeah, the beginning parts.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. But it's just after a while, like it's like too long to keep your attention on the one thing. Like, I don't know. Like it's,
I yeah, don't know if I'm I, I with that. That.
But I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's fine. It's I could definitely see that. I don't know. Like I really enjoyed Piranha. I think for me, Crawl was a little bit better. Just craftsmanship wise,
okay,
and visually. So I'm gonna go with an 8 here.
That's interesting. I think because I think that might be your highest score yet. So that's pretty cool. Right? Am I wrong?
I don't think so. No, cause I mean I don't think I loved either of the Wicker Men. I like the first one, but not that.
My highest rating is 8. That's crazy for both of us. So far, our highest rating is an 8, and that mine was for the original.
And we're picking the fucking movies.
Hey, like, when you use a 10-point scale, use it. Like it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, I'm gonna save the 9s and the 10s for the shit I think is really a cut above the rest. Like, you can still have a classic like The Wicker Man be an 8, in my opinion.
I think this is a good, solid creature feature that, I don't know, maybe I'll have a different opinion of it in 10 years like I do with Piranha. Like, I think at the time, I probably thought Piranha, like, looked great back in 2010. Yeah. It doesn't now. But I think both movies are a ton of fun.
So, I came in at a 7 on both. I mean, I guess, obviously, we know you, like, for you, it's going to be, like, the battle here, the ending, the verdict is you're landing on Crawl, right?
I'm landing on Crawl. Yeah, it's slightly better for me. Piranha maybe has not aged as well. Just visually,
I see Crawl aging better because it doesn't have any of the mark. Like, it's hard to say what the markers of your time is because we're living in it right now. But it's like. Right. Like, it feels, like, Crawl feels like a movie that could have came out in 1997, except for, like, the visual effects wouldn't be as good. You know what I mean? Like, there's not a lot of things to it that, like, point out, like Piranha 3D is all, like, things of, like, this is 2010, dude. Like, Girls Gone Wild, we're gonna show tits, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's...
We didn't talk about it, but there's a scene where the main character, the teenage boy, he has researching wild, wild women or whatever on his computer, and his mom busts in. Mom, what are you doing? Yeah. Shuts down, and then she leaves, and he turns it back on, and there's all those pop ups like that you would get from like looking at porn in that era. Like, there are still pop ups, but not necessarily to that degree.
Yeah, I just like that type of scene. Even like almost feels like something from.
Now it's like what kid is really sitting in their room on their desktop PC? Like
they're watching Pornhub on their phone. Yeah,
exactly. Like it just doesn't work anymore.
So. For me, it was really tough to pick which one I liked more because, like, they both have their merits. Like, they're different. Like, they're different. Like, despite being both, like, underwater creature features from Aja, like, they're different. And there's things I like about both. And, like, I really love, I think, like, in some ways, Piranha is, like, almost more exciting, like, more provocative. And, like, that section with the chaos and all that, like, is so fucking fun. And I think, you know, Piranha has the edge when it comes to gore.
Definitely. For sure.
So, like, I really battled with this because for me, I would always go with something like Crawl because it's like I want the more serious horror. And it is more like Crawl's a light, fun movie, but it is a serious, like, horror movie. But, like, Crawl doesn't lack the gore. Like, that. So, like, I was, like, arguing about this in my head all day. I finally just landed on, I think Crawl's a better movie. Like, it's just.
Yeah.
It just I can is. See that.
Right, that was where that was exactly where I came down. Like, for as much fun as Piranha is,
yeah,
I think I said it when we were kind of giving our ratings. I'm not sure Piranha's a good movie. I think Crawl's a good movie.
And you know, we've gone on about this a bunch, like including a minute ago. But like, I just think that Piranha feels very dated, like very of its time. And I don't think like Crawl. I think will just feel like a fun creature movie for a long time after this.
Yeah.
Interestingly, like enough, like on our, you know, we do a poll for each episode. The poll could be a tiebreaker. So if you went Piranha 3D and I went Crawl, this you know, poll could decide it for us. So
did our listeners and Twitter followers say?
So, with 71% of the vote, Piranha 3D won.
Wow! So,
unfortunately, they're outnumbered because they only count as one vote.
Honestly, coming into this, I thought that I was sure that Piranha 3D would be my choice.
Here's what I thought: when I finally decided before we recorded tonight, I'm like, I'm doing Crawl. Crawl's the winner. I'm like, Chris is going to pick Piranha 3D, and then the poll, since the people picked Piranha 3D, would decide Piranha 3D is the winner of this month's matchup. But it looks like we outnumbered the poll, and Crawl wins. I think that happened with episode 2 with the Crazies as well, where yeah. you and I went with the original, and the people that responded
went with to the remake, yeah.
All
right. So what do we have on tap for episode 5, Jeff?
So for episode 5, here's what happened is I want to incorporate new movies where possible. So
yeah.
In a normal 2020, we would have had a Candyman episode already. You know, for example, we would have probably a Halloween episode coming up, but that's also not happening. But so there's a new movie that came out that got like a lot of critical praise, and that decided what the theme that we're going for next month. And that is so. What we're gonna do for episode 5? It's gonna be the classy haunted house film. You know, think of your elevated horror, right? As they like to call like the A24 movies nowadays. And so from 2020, we're going to review a brand new film called Relic, which got a lot of buzz from critics.
Okay.
And we're going to pair that with a classic horror film that I've only seen once, and I don't remember. I didn't like it when I saw it, but I might have been too young. We're going to go with a classic haunted house film from 1980, The Changeling.
I have not seen either of these, so...
So, yeah, that's... Episode 5, Classy Haunted House Films, Relic versus The Changeling. Relic is available on demand. It's like a $6 rental. The Changeling is available on Shudder, guys. Also available on The Last Drive-In, which I'm going to check it out on there to get like more info and stuff.
Get the history behind it, yeah.
Yeah, I did not watch the episode because I want to say... When they did it as the second movie of the night. I'm like, I know The Changeling is like a slow adult movie. I'm like, I'm going to fucking fall asleep. So I've not watched that one yet. Very interested to actually check out both of these. So that's what we're doing for Suspender. We're doing
a like it.
A little spooky, yeah.
Like so, it. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
Fair enough. That is true.
We don't know. Yeah. I mean... You said you've never seen The Changeling either, right?
Yeah, so, I haven't seen either of these films. Yeah. Maybe I will not come away thinking this was a good idea. But I like the theme.
You know, I like to fit in. You know, I like to fit in, like, you know, this is like a big horror movie for the year. So, like, we're going to try to fit this one in and see how it is, you know?
All right. Sounds good. Then we will be back September 1st with the Relic versus the Changeling.
Woo!